there is, you know, incredible academic preparation happening here, incredible spiritual preparation and maturation and growth happening here.
My success stories have really just been one after another. They're successful to me because I love to see people's lives change.
It was a remarkable experience.
Hello and welcome to Latter-day Profiles. I'm Brian Howard here on the campus of Brigham Young University, Idaho. And joining me today is Randy Collier. Randy, welcome.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Randy is a neighbor of mine, moved into the neighborhood, and I got to know him and heard that he did some photography, so I coerced him into showing me some of his works, and they're fantastic. And as we got talking, telling the stories, I thought Randy would be a great guest for Latter-day Profiles to tell some of your background. So, Randy, it's good to have you here. Glad you moved into the neighborhood.
We're glad we did, too, except for the snow.
Tell us a little bit about your background. You grew up down in California.
Yeah, born down in the Anaheim area, and shortly after that moved to Newport Beach, Costa Mesa. And I grew up there, and when I turned 12, we moved to a farm south of Sun Valley, dairy farm. First time I really had seen a cow, but we had 40 milk cows to milk by hand.
So. Did you get to take part in that?
Yeah. Although most of the time my mom and dad did the milking and I did all the feeding and cleaning up.
The cleaning up, everyone's favorite chore. I had my share of that. That's right. What was that transition like for you? Was it enjoyable? Was it just different?
It was really fun for me. I mean, a 12-year-old, you know, haystacks, you get to run and jump and play in the barns and all that stuff. My older brother was a senior in high school. I think it was a little tough for him. But
Yeah. You mentioned a little bit different population, right, where you were?
Yep. Yeah. We had a graduating class of about 68 people or something like that.
So you got to know each other pretty well.
Yeah, we knew everybody knew everybody and what everybody did.
Yeah, the dating pool is a little small.
Hopefully
everyone got along pretty well.
That's right.
What got you interested in photography?
My grandfather and my grandmother used to travel the world, and they'd come back from their trips going around the world, and he would show us all the slides. They were all Kodachrome slides, and I'd lay on the floor out in front of the screen and just I loved it. I just enjoyed every bit of it. And when my grandfather passed away, my grandmother gave me his camera and all of his slides. And so I have quite a collection of slides of his of all over the place.
You know, I love the slides. As a missionary, I took slides. That was a recommendation in the day. And I was like, why did I do that? Because you have to transfer them all. Yeah. I haven't done that all yet, but that's quite the chore to get those transferred over as technology changes.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about growing up there and what were your interests, you know, aside from milking cows and cleaning up, what were you interested in?
Sports. We did sports mostly, started out doing sports mostly because it kept us away from the farm doing chores. So the longer we were at school, the less chores we had to do at home. But. Yeah. It became quite an important part of our life, both football and track and all the sports.
Yeah. So in the small school, did you participate in pretty much everything?
Uh-huh. Yep. Football, you play both directions, offense and defense, and track, and you do many events, and it's fun. It was fun growing up.
Well, you're obviously good because you qualified to a scholarship for college to do that. Was that in the pole vault that you qualified for?
Yes, it was pole vaulting that I got my scholarship there, both at CSI and then 2 years later at Boise State.
Wow. So what was that transition to college? I mean, I guess CSI was not a big place, still isn't a big place.
No, not a big school, but it was a great school for me. I mean, for after being in a small high school, it was a lot bigger than that, but it was fun. It was fun to get to know all the guys that were on the track team from all over the country, and we became good friends, and you know, whenever we traveled to the meets, we spent a lot of time together, and a little bit of that kind of came a downfall also, because when I turned 19 is when they all decided to introduced me to all the things of the world. We did a lot of drinking and drugs and things that weren't, you know, really nice to do, but became pretty involved in it. And over the course of the next year, from 19 to 20, it was a pretty major part of the life for me. And in fact, that kind of led me to that story that I was telling you earlier about after a basketball game, we were partying and having fun. And at some point in time, I don't know if I was pushed off or fell off, but I fell off the second story and landed in the snow and passed out. That was sometime in the middle of the night. And I don't remember anything after that, other than one time during the middle of the night or morning, I don't even know when it was, I remember looking up and seeing a pretty, pretty eyes of a girl. And then later that day I woke up and there was a letter on my desk in the dorm room that she had written, about 6 pages long, about her experiences that she had when she was in high school and how she and her friends went out to party and have fun and stuff. And on the way home, they got in a car wreck and they were all killed. 6 of them were killed and she was the only one that lived. And then she bore testimony about the church. And that was kind of the, not my first introduction to the church, but first time somebody actually bore their testimony about it. And it made me start to think.
So from there, obviously had a big impact on you, and you started to think, what happened after that?
Well, I started actually going to different churches in the area there and trying to find an answer. And it just never felt right. And then I don't know the exact timing, but it was a few weeks to a few months after that experience with her that the missionaries knocked on the door of my dorm, which I now looking back is fairly unusual, I would imagine. And they came in and they taught me, and we read the Book of Mormon together and had some amazing experiences and decided to join the church.
Mm. Wow. So how was that a change? You know, obviously it's a change in life when you join the church, but what impact did you see in joining the church at that point?
Well, it was a fear. I mean, you know, that all the changes that you would have to make, because you're doing all these dumb things of the world, and then family. My parents weren't excited about the chance of me doing that, and a lot of the friends on the track team weren't members of the church at the time, and it was during that time I was reading the Book of Mormon as the missionaries would come and teach me, and they'd ask me to read parts of it, and I was reading about. It was in 3rd Nephi, and I just remember reading it and thinking about, oh, if I join the church, it's gonna like hold me back. It's not gonna let me be free and do all the things I want to do. And at the time I was reading, I looked out the window, there was a guy flying a kite out, way out in the field. I don't know why, in your head you kind of start looking at things, and I was thinking, yeah, that string's like the church, you know, or the scriptures, it's holding the kite down. It's keeping the kite from flying. Then the string broke. The kite floundered around and ended up landing in a tree somewhere out there. And then I realized that actually it's the string that's making the kite soar. Mm. And that kind of, for me, just was a turning point for me. And I told the missionary, let's do this.
Mm. So, well, divine intervention on the kite string, yeah, out the window.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
You know, we talked about this before, and you mentioned whoever the girl was, you know, by the way, the team was Ricks College.
Yes, it was Ricks College.
College of Southern Idaho had played Ricks College.
Yeah, we beat them really bad.
Yeah, but apologize to everyone.
Apologize to everybody, yeah, that's right. But, she was from Rexburg. The girl was, in the letter she told me that she was born and raised here, so.
Well, maybe it'd be cool to find out who that was.
I wish.
Able to find out who
if
that
anybody
was.
Sees this and knows who it is, let me know. I'd like to know who the two missionaries were, too.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have their names either.
Wow. So there's our official social media expedition to find out who
That's
those
right.
people were. How were the early days of, you know, being a member of the church then and integrating in? Did it go pretty well, or were there some rough spots?
It wasn't rough, but I didn't, you know, when you join the church, you don't know anything, and there's all the new terminology, yeah, and all the new things. And the church was, the missionaries before, they took me to sacrament meeting, and at the time, that was back when there were 3 different hours at different times of the day.
Oh, yeah, right?
They never took me to anything but sacrament meeting. I didn't know about priesthood. I didn't know about Sunday school. So after I joined the church, I shortly finished the semester, and then I moved to Boise, and nobody knew who I was, and I went to church, but I'd go sit in the back during sacrament meeting, and then I'd go home, and I thought I was completely active and doing everything I was supposed to do, but it wasn't until I got engaged and I was supposed to go in to meet the girl's bishop, and he asked me about the priesthood, and I had no idea what he was talking about. And at that point, she said, well, maybe we shouldn't get married yet. So, anyway, but then there, I had a home teacher. I didn't know he was a home teacher, but he would show up on Monday, you know, Monday morning of the first day of the month, he'd come over and bring cookies. And we just thought he was so nice. Me and my roommate, I had a couple of roommates in the house that I had bought at the time. And he'd come by and talk and chat for a minute on the porch. And then the next month he'd come by with cookies again. And we thought, this is pretty cool. This guy comes by bringing us cookies. And his wife would come with him every once in a while. About the fourth month, he asked if he could come in, and sure, come on in. He sat down and he said, well, there's a Book of Mormon. I go, yeah, we read this Book of Mormon. This is part of what we do in our religion. He goes, oh, I'm a member of the church too. And, you know, we didn't know. Yeah. I never had seen him in church because I went to the closest church, and he, evidently our church was
somewhere else.
Somewhere else. And so it was through him that he told me about where I should be going and what bishop, and talked to the bishop. So that's when I met the bishop and I found out about the priesthood. And there, it's just been a chain of events of a lot of people kind of lucking out or something, or just being blessed, really. I'm sure it's what it is.
Yeah. Well, obviously, I've been very active for a long time now and got involved in photography. How did that come about? You know, were you doing that during college as well? Was that always a passion?
Yeah, because of my grandfather, when he passed away and I got his camera equipment, I got involved a little bit in high school and then in college. And in fact, during college, towards the end there, I got a job with a photographer, and I was sort of like, I was the darkroom mouse that had to go and print all the black and white prints for the school and stuff. And that was kind of my beginning point of it. And then after a period of time, when I got out of college, I started selling real estate, and I did well, but I didn't like it. And this guy that hired me wanted me to come back and be a junior partner in his photography company. And so I did that. Hmm. And that's ever since, that's 1978 or something like that. And it's the only thing I've ever done.
Well, let's wax nostalgic for just a minute. Photography has changed dramatically. You know, you said you're in the dark room. Most people studying photography now, that's not even an issue, right? We don't worry about that kind of stuff.
No.
What about the changes over time? So it's changed dramatically from when you got into it until today.
Yeah. In fact, yeah, there was no autofocus. There was no, it was very different. It was very different. In fact, in 1980 something or other, early 80s, is when I bought my actual first video camera, because I thought, I'm going to get into doing, I already do wedding photography, so I'm going to go ahead and start doing wedding videos. Mm-hmm. It was a RCA camera, had three tubes in it, and it had a big pack that I had to carry with the big VCR in it. And yeah, it's changed a lot.
Yeah.
And it's so much better now. Yeah. So much better.
How has it changed the way you do business?
That's changed dramatically. I mean, photography used to be looked at as an art or a craft. And now it's become, I think it's kind of looked at least from the general public, more as a commodity. Mm. You know, people used to be willing to pay a lot of money to have a nice photograph to hang on the wall. And a lot of young families don't do that anymore. They don't even print the pictures anymore. I mean, think about how many pictures you have on your cell phone and how many of them have you printed?
Yeah. It's probably more pictures on my cell phone right now than I took in my entire lifetime up until I was in college.
I guarantee you that. That's true.
Well, you got into, and you did a variety of things. Like you said, a photography business. You also had some opportunities to do some photography for the church. How did that come about?
When we moved to Sandy, Utah, from Idaho, we moved to Sandy, Utah. Actually, when we did that, I worked for Kodak for four or five years. Mm. And traveled around and taught photography to photographers in the region, and took care of that. I was the technical sales rep, kind of the title I had. And that was a fun experience, lasted 4 or 5 years. And then I went to work for another company, Kitty Candids, that had, at the time they had 16 stores, and they wanted to grow their business. And so that was kind of why they called me in to do that and help them. But during all of that, photography always was just part of life and what we did.
Mm. Yeah, doing things when not only your job, but things you like to do on the side as you're working with it.
Well, then anyway, in Sandy, once we were here, I, to go all the way back to when I joined the church, I went to the very first general conference right after I was baptized. And I remember coming down and sitting outside Temple Square for the whole night, waiting, and I thought it was going to be a big line to get in, and I was the first one there, but but I sat outside the gate all night long waiting to get in, and I sat and I saw the photographers taking pictures during conference, and I thought that would be a cool thing to do someday. And after being in Sandy and when I was with Kodak, I got to meet some of the photographers at the church and became friends with them and asked them if they ever needed any help, that I would be available. And I tell you, it was the greatest experience I've ever had shooting pictures for the church. The general conference and the Bible videos and the new temples before they're open, or some of the general authorities or the mission presidents, or just all a whole variety of things, and a lot of cool experiences during that.
Where did the photos end up? For the church magazines. Now, of course, things go on the web. Before that, but where, you know, when you're taking those photos, or like a temple open house, where do those end up at?
They end up on a server somewhere in the bowels of the church. No, they do. They have, I don't know how many millions and millions of pictures they must have, but everything we shoot goes there. And the full-time photographers that are working for the church do such an amazing job of keeping all that organized and under control and making it easy for the contract labor guys to come in and do what we're asked to do. Been a lot of great experiences doing that.
What's some of your favorites? I imagine, you know, like a temple, because normally, of course, you know, don't take a camera at the temple, and doing an open house or something, that's gotta be a pretty cool experience.
Yeah, it is a cool experience. I got a chance to do the temple in Fort Lauderdale in Florida, Fort Lauderdale, I think that's what it was. And to go in, it's awkward at first, because you're carrying all this equipment and cords and lights and stuff to go in and shoot but it's a neat experience. It's so cool to be down there in the baptismal font by the oxen and just being able to touch them and be there. Just those types of experiences are great. And general conference is probably the best for experiences than the.
Yeah, why is that so? General conference is cool, but.
Well, yeah, it's different now.
Yeah,
but, a few years ago, we'd get an assignment. We'd either have an assignment to be outside or inside. And when you're outside, you get a photograph. Everybody at conference, they're there. They're having fun. They're happy and they're excited. And they're from all over the world. And to get to meet them and to learn about them as we photograph them, it's the neatest experience. And then sometimes they give us a little bit of a hint of maybe something they want a photograph of for a certain talk that somebody's giving. And I remember one time they said that if we get a chance to photograph some birds on Temple Square, by the way, all the pictures that you see in the end sign and stuff, they basically have to be taken during general conference weekend. They can't use pictures from any other time. And so they have all the little rules and stuff. they said they were looking for little finches. And I started thinking, I have never seen a bird on Temple Square ever that I can remember. I think it was President Packer was giving a talk about it, this little bird and the snake and the and the vines and the things, and he started speaking, and two birds just flew down and landed in a tree right there in front of me. And I stopped and I took a picture, and they flew away and never saw any more after that. But wow. It's things like that that just kind of like, wow, that wasn't just an accident. Probably the best experience I had was I had the assignment of photographing all the speakers at the pulpit, which is usually not super fun, but it was pretty cool because it was during the solemn assembly when President Nelson became the prophet. And I got in order to do those that particular year, they decided to use the cameras that they were using for conference. So there's six or eight cameras that they have for conference. And so I was down in one of the little black back cubicles, and I had all six cameras right there in front of me, and I could stop, switch it over to the 4K screen and do a screen grab. And that's how we did that. And then President Nelson got up, and during the sustaining, you know, everybody, they had them stand up in groups, the men, the women, you know. And when they had the young women stand up, President Nelson, he had been smiling through all of this and just watching. He was so observant. And but when the young women stood up, he glanced out at everybody, and he glanced up into the upper deck there, and the tears just welled up in his eyes, and you know, you just feel his love. I mean, it just. And I'm you know, back in the back, just trying to, oh, I got to take pictures. And just his love testified to me that he's the prophet, and it was the greatest thing.
Well, you can certainly see how the Lord has moved you through your life and been, sometimes it's gentle nudges, sometimes it's big pushes, maybe off a balcony.
Yep. Yeah.
I did want to know, though, with photography, you seem to have, you know, obviously you've got a real passion for it. What is it about it that really is the thing? Is it the visual element? Is it creating? What is it about it that you really just love?
I think it's the fact that it's, number one, you're dealing with light, you know, and light is so important. And because of that light, we're able to capture moments in time that will, if they're properly saved, will live forever. And it helps people bring back memories. It helps people remember things from the past that they would never remember. And to be able to reflect upon the importance of family and children and how they grow so fast and how you can go back and remember those times of before that. It's just an amazing thing. And then I kind of evolved into teaching a lot of photography because of that love and wanting to share that with other people and to be able to take people places and to show them places and to let them experience that and to capture it themselves and to learn the importance of photography and just help everybody realize that it's just a picture, but it's more than a picture. It's a memory. It's a time. It's a place in time that helps us all believe and have that great wonder of what happened and why it was there.
Mm. Well, I can attest to that. When I found out that your background, then I groveled to have you let me hang out with you for a while. It's been a lot of fun. I learned a lot of cool things, so I really, really appreciate what you're doing. People want to know more about, want to see your photos and that kind of thing. Where can they find those?
I have a website. It's just randycollierphotographicdesign.com. Long name. But it is what it is. Yeah. And it's there and enjoy it.
Yeah. I've gone through, you got a lot of amazing things, a lot of stuff outdoors, a lot of beautiful, beautiful stuff. So Randy, it's been a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks so much for taking the time and dropping by.
Thanks for inviting me. Thanks, I appreciate it.